whole process. It is only through awareness of what is true from moment to moment that there is a discovery of the timeless, the eternal. Without the self-knowledge, the eternal cannot be there. When we do not know ourselves, the eternal becomes a mere word, a symbol, a speculation, a dogma, a belief, an illusion to which the mind can escape. But if one begins to understand the me in all its various activity from day to day, then in that very understanding, without any effort, the nameless, the timeless, comes into being. But the timeless is not a reward for self-knowledge. That which is eternal cannot be sorted after. The mind cannot acquire it. It comes into being when the mind is quiet. And the mind can be quiet only when it is simple, when it is no longer storing up, condemning, judging, weighing. It is only the simple mind that can understand the real, not the mind that is full of words, knowledge and information, not the mind that analyzes and calculates. That type of mind is not a simple mind. So this quote comes from the Book of Life by J. Krishnamurti. I will go through you all after. Okay, now maybe, okay, we can start our puja. Compose your mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya. Then mindfully, we shall commence the puja. Namo Bhagavate Sakya Muni Pho. Namo Bhagavate Sakya Muni Pho. Namo Bhagavate Sakya Muni Pho. Namo Quan Si Pu Sa. Namo Quan Si Pu Sa. Namo Quan Si Pu Sa. Namo Pho Pu Sa. Namo Pho Pu Sa. Namo Pho Pu Sa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi Swagato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Sanghang saranang gacchami Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Adina dana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami กามิสุมิจาจาราเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิมุสาวาทาเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิสุราเมรยามัจจาปะมาทัตตานะเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิสาธุสาธุสาธุโอเค pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha Guanyin Bodhisattva and all the worthy onesNo problem, no problem. Don't worry, don't worry. We will have longer meditation. Okay. I think we will continue from where we stop. We were at page 132. But before we start the platform sutta, we will recite the verse for opening the sutta. Then page 1.Verse for opening a sutta. We will recite together. The unsurpassed, profound, and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. So this one is a very important verse. So that it reminds you of the uniqueness of this teaching. Then now we turn to page 132. We finish the commentary part. We are now at the sutta at the last paragraph. You should know that the merits and virtue of this sutta is immeasurable, unbound, and indescribable.As the sutta text itself clearly states, this Dhammador is the supreme vehicle taught for people of great wisdom and supreme faculties. When people of limited faculty and wisdom hear it, their mind give rise to doubt. So this is often the case. So you have to understandEvery cultivator, they are at different stages of cultivation. That's why I always remind you all to have open mind. When you have not reached that cultivation, do not slight or comment unless you have gone beyond. So this Dhammador, like what Huineng mentioned, it is from the supreme vehicle, means.Those who walk the Bodhisattva way to become Sammasambuddha. And these are taught for people of great wisdom and great superior faculty, means they have developed the cultivation from the past. They already have the affinity, condition, and base to receive this understanding. But when people of limited faculties and wisdom hear it,Their mind give rise to doubt. So that is where the problem is. Then Huineng say, why is that? Take for example the rain when the heavenly dragon showered on Jambuvapi. Jambuvapi, you read note 37 down there. Every world system contains one sun, one moon, and one Mount Sumeru, as well as the four great continents.So Jambuvapi is the continent located south of Mount Sumeru. It is the continent upon which we live. So our this planet Earth is part of Jambuwapi. Cities and villages drift about in the flood like thorns and leaves. But if the rain falls on the great sea, its water neither increase nor decrease. If people of the great vehicle, the most superior vehicle hears the Diamond Sutta, their mind open up, awaken and understand. They then know that their original nature is sound, possess the wisdom of Pragya. Because they themselves use this wisdom constantly to contemplate and illuminate, they do not rely on written words. So these are very different teaching. The one that relies on words, they are still at the concept level. They are still at the level of form and mind. They have not gone beyond mind. Take for example the rainwater. It does not come from the sky. The truth is that the dragon caused it to fall in order that all living beings, all plants and trees, all those with feelings and those without feelings may receive its moisture. In 100 streams, it flows into the great ocean or sea, and there unites into one substance. The wisdom of Pragya of the original nature of living being act the same way. That's why when you understand your true nature, your Buddha nature, your oneness nature, they are not apart from each other. They are just that source of all things. That's why it is called by different names: original nature, true nature, Buddha nature, oneness nature. Or some even call it the self nature. But the self nature, if you don't understand, is a very dangerous word, because there is no being inside there. It's not a permanent, unchanging entity. Even if the unconditioned, you cannot own it. It don't belong to anyone. That's why it's still anatta. Then we go into the commentary. We see what Xuan Hua said. People without good roots say the Diamond Sutta is meaningless. What good point does reciting it have? If recite it every day, can you go without eating and still live? Keep reciting and you will see you can go without eating. People of shallow roots and wisdom do not believe in this sutta. So this is the phenomena that will happen, because Diamond Sutta is very, very abstract. And if you don't have the parami, you cannot understand Diamond Sutta. That's the reason why this Diamond Sutta is very different from normal sutta. Basically, Diamond Sutta never teach you Dhamma, never teach you how to really cultivate the Buddha Dhamma. But it teaches you how to develop the true cultivation. That's why you must cultivate until you can develop that ability to go beyond marks, all marks. You need to develop the type of cultivation that will enable you to cultivate in such a way that there is no mark of even a self, a person cultivating. Then there is no mark of even living beings to be saved and all those things. Then there is no mark of Dhamma. And that is the cultivation that can take you beyond. Whereas the normal cultivation involves the I, the me. I meditate. I listen to Dhamma. I cultivate Buddha Dhamma. I practice. So this is all at the form level, with the mark of a cell, a living being cultivating to realize enlightenment. So this is limited to the form level and the mind level. And this type of cultivation, very slow. The merits that you accumulate is nowhere compared to those who develop the understanding of the Diamond Sutta. So this understanding is not easy. It takes a while. You have to slowly develop that nature. That's why when you have such condition like our present, sasana, then you are born as a human being. You are born within the sasana, and you have the condition to come into contact with the Buddha Dhamma. You must not miss this window. You must determine strongly, so that when you come, you will have the condition to develop this understanding life after life. Then this not the coming one, the next two Tuesday class, if you all can, you all should attend. Because the 19th, I will speak on the Bodhisattva way. And on the 26th, there will be a special puja for those who want to take the Bodhisattva vow or develop the resolve or aspiration to walk that way. You have both options. Then I will guide you all on how to do it. Then you will see and understand how different the cultivation is. Because when you take the Bodhisattva vow, you actually cultivate without self. You come for the living being. You have great love, compassion, out of love and compassion and wisdom for the living being. You determine to liberate them, take them across to the other shore. Then you vow to understand and penetrate all dhammas. Then you vow to endure all suffering and perception. And you vow to develop the understanding to sever them. Then you vow to perfect the 10 perfection. So when you do that, you actually cultivate the Buddha Dhamma to perfect your nature without mark. Understand that? That's why you can progress very fast. Otherwise, if you go the traditional way, they say Bodhisattva way too long, I just want to finish off, develop sainthood and become arahant. This one is not your nature telling you. This one is your thought telling you. The thought deceives you. Then when the thought say that the atta, the I is there, understand that? I want to free now. I don't want to go that way. So the I is repeatedly manifesting. How can you become arahant? How can you become enlightened when the egoic mind is still so powerful and so strong? So this is what you have to understand. That's why taking the Bodhisattva vow is not what you all think. It's not that, oh, I'm not ready, I cannot, I don't have the ability. Then out of fear, you dare not take. You have everything to gain, I tell you. You got nothing to lose. Even towards the end, if you find it too long, you want to return and just finish off, you can. You can stop anytime. But not until you develop this resolve, you cannot really progress. Even to realize sainthood, you think is easy. The one who truly understand, they will know. Of course, relatively a lot more easier. But if you go with that type of mind state, it's actually more difficult than those who take the Bodhisattva vow. Anyway, because these people, they will move faster, much, much faster. So all this you will start to understand when I go through the 19th of April, Tuesday class. Then 26th is the official one. And we will have a special puja. Then I will lead you all to develop the understanding and follow the appropriate procedure to develop those vows. Or you can make resolve to actually, just like you make resolve to keep your precept, understand or not? It's still not a vow, but to me it's no different, understand or not? When that resolve is there, the Bodhi-mind is born in your nature, and that is the one that will drive you. We have the precept you take according to the Theravada tradition and the Mahayana tradition. They only stay with you this life, understand? After that, the precept no more. You come again, you have to renew. But the Bodhisattva vow, life after life, it will be with you. It is a vow, it's a resolve that you plant inside your nature. The seed of Bodhi, that's why they call it the Bodhi mind. And when you have that Bodhi mind, that resolve will drive you to cultivate. So it's very different. Okay, then I read on. Recite it every day. Then he said, can you go on without eating and still live? Keep reciting and you will see if you can go without eating. People of shallow roots and wisdom do not believe in this sutta. The great sea represents people of great roots and energy. As soon as they hear this Dhamma, they realize that prajna is originally complete within the self nature, and so they believe it. People of small roots and wisdom, however, are like grass and leaves which floats on the surface of the water and sink as soon as it rains. They doubt the great vehicle Dhamma. Reflecting within, it is not necessary for those of great wisdom to be highly literate in order to understand prajna, wisdom. That's why, like Huineng, he is not even educated. You don't have to be a literate. The prajna wisdom of the self nature of living being is just like the rain from the heaven which flows into the great sea. The sea represents our inherent wisdom. No matter how much rain falls, the sea neither increases nor decreases. The Buddha Dhamma is like the great sea. Only those with faith can realize it or can enter it. It may also be said, only those with wisdom can enter, because without wisdom it's very difficult to enter the sea. Then we go on. Good knowing advisor. When people of limited faculty hear the sudden teaching, they are like the plants and trees with shallow roots which wash away by the great rain, are unable to grow. But at the same time, the prajna wisdom which people of limited faculties possess is fundamentally no different from the prajna that men of great wisdom possess. So this part you must develop the understanding. Your essential nature is no different from the Buddha nature. Each and every one of this living being, you have your essential nature or Buddha nature. The only thing that differs is you have the deluded mind, the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the one that has delusion, ignorance. That one cloud the essential nature. And you cannot realize that true essential nature because you cling on to this mundane mind, which is the fine aggregate of form and mind, thinking that you are that. That's where living beings get trapped, get entangled. Then we continue. Hearing the Dhamma, why do they not become enlightened? That is the question. If it's so simple, knowing this, forget about the mundane mind, silent, and you will realize the true mind. But how come they cannot do it? You ask yourself. And now with your understanding, how come some of you still cannot do it? It's not so easy. Later on, I read the Krishnamurti quote, you understand. Why do they not become enlightened? It is because the obstacle of their, what? Deviant view, your wrong view. Your wrong view keep on opposing, understand not? The thought keep on telling you things. How can it be so easy? Where God learned that one? Monk full time also cannot get it. I lay person, I where got chance? Ah, you go and think like that. Means your deviant view, your thought deceive you. Because you don't understand. The moment your thought cease, you become beautiful. Yeah. And that one is a nature, it's not you. That's why the form and mind is not you. The five aggregate of form and mind, the living being is not you. You must have that understanding. That's why later on when you take the vow, I will guide you all to develop the right view, one by one. So that line after line, all this understanding will follow you. Yeah. Otherwise, it's not easy, I tell you. Yeah. That's why you must aditan, determination. Yeah. You must develop that resolve, that very strong affirmation. Yeah. It is because the obstacle of their deviant view is a formidable one. See, they use the word formidable. Very difficult to break. And the root of their affliction is deep. Because of this self-delusion, sakkaya ditti, all of suffering arise. That's why the first Noble Truth final summary, the Buddha mentioned clearly. It is due to your self-delusion that condition you to grasp and cling and hold onto the five aggregates of form and mind. That's why they become grasping aggregate, upadana khandas, that the Buddha called dukkha or suffering. It's like when thick clouds cover the sun. If the wind does not blow, the sunlight will not be visible. Your true nature is the same. Your essential nature is the same. If it's not because of your delusion, your deviant views, you think a lot, you create a lot of thought process, sankhara, emotion, mental states. These are the things that cloud your essential nature, that prevent you from realizing that essential nature. You can't even touch it because you are so deluded by the form and mind. You are so deluded by the aggregates. And you cling and hold because to you they are so real. And you believe this form and mind is what you are. Because this is so solid. And it has the senses, it has the consciousness that can create illusion for you to grasp onto. That's why the five aggregate of form and mind, they are like great magicians. Yeah. And the five aggregate, they have five analogy, the Buddha taught. You have to go through to understand, then not to be deceived by them. Then we go on. Prajna wisdom is itself neither great nor small. Living beings differ because their mind, their own mind, are neither confused or enlightened. Those of confused mind look outwardly to cultivate in search of the Buddha. Not having awakened to their self nature, yet they have small root. So now you understand, eh? Those who are deluded, you know where they search or not. They search outside. Why? Because your senses, your eye, your ear, your nose, your tongue, your tactile, and your mind, they always look outside. That's why you entangle yourself with the external phenomenal world of form and mind. That's how the phenomenal world become like full of meaning to you. If you search outside, externally, these are all mental phenomena. Mind make are they? They have the universal characteristics of impermanent suffering state leading to non-self or empty nature. You cannot realize the truth. You cannot seek the eternal. You cannot even realize the true mind connect to that true nature. And without that nature, you cannot insight into the phenomena, the characteristic. You cannot understand anything. That's why you have to search within, connect first. When the mind is silent, then only there is awareness. Then only there is sati, mindfulness. And then only you can understand what is going on. Then the five aggregates of form and mind, you will understand how they arise and how they pass away. The condition arising nature, causal phenomena. Then that which is eternally unchanging, unmoving, the awareness nature, that true nature, that is the unconditioned. And that one never born, that's why it never die. That's why there is no birth, no death. That's why that one can go beyond birth and death. You need to realize that essential nature, that true mind, that true nature. Otherwise you cannot free, you cannot liberate. So this part is very important. Eh? Then the last paragraph, when you become enlightened to the sudden teaching, you do not grasp onto the cultivation of external things. When your own mind constantly gives rise to right view, affliction and defilements can never stain you. So now you understand. Eh? When you have right view, what happened? You are not deluded anymore. Then the external phenomenal world loses its power over you. External form, external mind loses its power to delude you and condition you into negativity. That's why here the Huineng explained it very clearly. He said, when your own mind constantly give rise to right view, means you constantly straighten your view, then affliction and defilement can never stain you because you are no longer deluded. That's why you will have less and less sankhara. Less avijja, less sankhara, the first two links. Then because of that, you will have less suffering. So all this will follow. That is what is meant by seeing your own nature. So to realize the truth is very simple, not that difficult. You're just silent completely. And the mundane mind sees, then he will realize that true nature. Even for a glimpse, it will awaken you. So these are very important understanding. Now I go to the Krishnamurti quote. I think for most of you, if you have attended Thursday class, Tuesday class, you must have heard about this quote. Quiet mind, simple mind. So this will explain to you clearly how the parallel teaching of Jai Krishnamurti and the Buddha is the same, but put in different words. The title of the daily quote is Quiet Mind, Simple Mind. According to Jai Krishnamurti, he said, when we are aware of ourselves, it's not the whole movement of living, aware of uncovering the me, the ego and the self. What is the me? What is this me, the ego and the self? This is self-delusion, isn't it? True or not? Because you call this form and mind me, I. Well, when you were born into this world, they give you a name. So this is delusion. This is actually karmically conditioned out for you to use. A vehicle and a tool for you to use to live life, to cultivate, to develop all the wholesomeness. But if you don't know how to use it, you are deluded by it, then you will fall. That's why Krishnamurti also understands that this me, the ego and the self, you need to uncover. You need to see the falseness of it. Then he used the word, when we are aware of ourselves, see, aware of this form and mind. It's not the whole movement of living a way of uncovering the self-delusion, the me, the ego, and the self. And this is what the four foundation of mindfulness is all about, the daily mindfulness is all about. That's like the whole movement of living is a way to uncover the self-delusion, sakkaya ditti. Then the self is very complex according to Krishnamurti. The self is a very complex process that can only be uncovered only in relationship, means in the midst of life, in our daily activity, in the way we talk. When you talk, what can you see if you are aware? You can see your own selfishness, your own negativity, your own emotional negativity, sometimes your own fear, your own deceitfulness. So all these are your hidden ego. And this is what Satipatthana is all about, the four foundations of mindfulness. When the content of consciousness has greed, you must be aware. When the content of consciousness has the envy, jealousy, anger, hatred, deceitfulness, you must be aware. When the content of consciousness has delusion, has fear, insecurity, you must be aware. That's why Krishnamurti put it in another way. He said, the self is a very complex process that can only be uncovered only in relationship, in our daily activity, in the way we talk. When we talk, we can see our own selfishness. And when in the way we judge, when you judge means what? You are commenting, judging, interpreting. Then all this lead to more and more evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then in the way we calculate, for me or not for me, advantage to me or not, otherwise I don't want to do. All these are the evil roots. And the way we condemn other people, we always think we are right, other people is wrong. The I and the me, the sakyadity. That's how living beings get themselves entangled. They cannot liberate their mind. Then sometimes Krishnamurti says, you not only condemn others, you condemn yourself too. And says, you develop a lot of remorse and you hate yourself. All that reveals the conditioned state of our own thinking. See? This is where you get conditioned. Because your mind state, your views, your opinion, they condition you to react this way, to complain, to judge, to do all these funny things. All that reveals the conditioned state of our own thinking. And is it not important to be aware of this whole process? Otherwise, you cannot see your own selfishness, your own, what they call, pettiness, anasana. How mean you are, how calculative you are. That's why all these are evil roots. The Buddha said, if you act, speak, and think with an evil mind, full of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, what happened to you? Suffering will follow you, like the wheel that follow the hoop. So these are exact same Dhamma put in different words. Then Krishnamurti said, it is only through awareness of what is true from moment to moment that there is discovery of the timeless, the eternal. See? Essential self nature. You have to do it with awareness. It's only through awareness of what is, means the reality, from moment to moment. That's why it's daily mindfulness, nothing else. Otherwise you cannot penetrate. Not the amount of sitting, concentration, the beautiful meditative mind state. All this got no meaning. All this cannot give rise to wisdom. It's only in daily life where you can see your mental intention behind all this. Then only you will come to understand whether your evil roots, your delusion has been rooted out or not. As long as your delusion, evil roots, ignorance, greed, hatred, and delusion has yet to be rooted out, you can never, never become enlightened. You can never awaken. Then Krishnamurti said, without this self-knowledge, the eternal cannot be. It means you cannot touch that essential nature. The eternal here, he referred to the timeless, is your essential nature, the unconditioned mind, your true mind, your true nature. So without self-knowledge, the eternal cannot be. When we do not know ourselves, the eternal become a mere words, a symbol, a speculation, a dogma, a belief, an illusion to which the mind can escape to. That's why they create a concept of God, salvation, and all those things. Even the Buddhists who don't understand, they cling on to Nibbana, understand? They want to realize Nibbana. Then they even have a book on See You in Nibbana. That is the most fantastic one. But if one begins to understand that me, which is the self-delusion in all its various activity from day to day, then in that very understanding, Krishnamurti say, without any effort, there's like no more effort. But the moment you understand, you are free. The nameless, the timeless, come into being. Means you can straight away come into contact with the essential nature. Why? Because you are not deluded by all this anymore. Understand not? Understand not? Because you saw how all this cunningness of your mind create all these things. Then when you realize that they are all empty, impermanent, lead to suffering, you will never do it. And when you never do it, what happens? You just aware, your mind becomes silent, quiet. That's like the timeless, the eternal, the true nature, you will realize it straight away. But as long as there is wrong view, your conditioned mind will react and create all these things. That's why you can never, never touch it. It can never come about. Wisdom is so simple. When you understand, you just let things be. Then your mind is free. And then it will stabilize. Then it will connect. Then suddenly you will realize and you will awaken. That's why Krishnamurti continues, he said. But the timeless is not a reward for self-knowledge. That which is eternal cannot be sorted after. Means what? You cannot use a mind to look for it. Understand? You cannot crave for it and desire it. The mind cannot acquire it. Where there is the thought. It comes into being when the mind is quiet. Are you quiet? Peaceful? Silent? You see? And the mind can be quiet only when it is simple. Simple means what? Not cunning, not deceitful, understand? Not full of judgment, wanting to condemn, wanting to look down on people and say all those things. When it is no longer storing up, means memory, understand? A lot of knowledge, a lot of views and opinion. That type of mind is not simple. But when it's no longer storing up, you don't hold on to any more views, opinion, and judgment, and then your mind is very simple. That's why you're very simple. You don't talk so much anymore. You don't even want to say anything anymore. So when it is simple, it is no longer storing up. It's no longer condemning, judging, weighing, calculating. It is only the simple mind that can understand the real, not the mind that is full of words, knowledge, information. The mind that analyzes and calculates is not a simple mind. So now you understand. Huh? That's why in the Mahayana teaching, they have this saying, suo zi zhang. You know what is the meaning? Huh? There is an obstruction born of knowledge. Whatever you come to know is an obstruction. That's why you cannot cultivate. Okay? Then we go back to the commentary, page 135. Deluded people do not become enlightened because they have deviant views. Their deviant views are too strong and too formidable, an obstruction. And caught them to disbelief. Their ignorance is great, and they give rise to too much affliction. which is like thick cloud covering the sun. The sunlight is simply the prajna of your self nature, so your true nature cannot shine forth. And the clouds are your deviant views and affliction. Because of your deviant views and affliction, your suffering, your emotion, your mind state, understand? You think a lot, you complain a lot, you judge a lot, you become miserable. You have all the various type of mind states that make you miserable and unhappy. That's why people complain a lot. If no wind blows the cloud away, the sunlight will not shine through. It's not like nature, no, where the cloud, the wind come, blow away, clear sky. Or after it rain, no more cloud, clear sky. Your delusion is so thick, so formidable. It's not easy to clear this unless there's a typhoon, maybe you got chance. Otherwise, it will stay there for eternity. Some living beings are heavily afflicted by bad habits. You know what is habit, huh? Your habitual tendency. You don't need to think one. Automatic response. Your husband say something on it, pop, come out already. You also like that one. Because you have been thinking for so long, how to counter him. Even your enemy, say your colleague that you don't like in your office, your enmity, your anger, your hatred, all these things, because of your constant thinking, understand? You have been thinking how to deal with this guy. And all this has become anuksaya, latent tendency, very latent inside there, waiting for condition to shoot out. That's why the moment he says something on it, you already like automatic one machine gun, come on. Then you become so emotional. You become like so engulfed in it. That's why that sakayadhiti is very powerful. Self-delusion. And you take it so personally. That's why delusion is very difficult to eradicate, to root out. Then Sthenra says, the sunlight is simply the prajna of your self-nature, and the cloud are your deviant views and affliction. If no wind blows the cloud away, the sunshine or sunlight will not shine through. Some living beings are heavily afflicted by bad habits. These are your habitual tendency, which we have described. Having created a great deal of bad karma, they are confused. Those with fewer bad habits and lighter karma can become enlightened. The confused people or person seeks the Dhamma outside his own mind. Seeking outwardly, he does not recognize the original true nature or complete Buddha of his own self nature. The more he seeks the Buddha outside, the further away he goes. See? That's why you have to return to your inner nature. Hui Guang Fan Zhao. Reverse the light and see within. You have to reflect on your own mind field to see your own mental intention, to see your own delusion and all those things. You should enlighten yourself and not seek outside. If you hear the sudden teaching, you may become enlightened right away. See? It's not a gradual thing. It's immediate. Understand the prajna of your own true nature and always hold to right knowledge and vision, means right view. You will then be without affliction or defilement. So this one is very useful, a very important understanding. Then we move on to the next one. So far, got any question? Do y'all have any question? Anybody got any question? The mic is here. Now, Miss Lee, pass to you. If you got any question, you can ask. Okay, don't have, never mind. It's okay. It's okay, don't worry. Good knowing advisor. The ability to cultivate the conduct of non-dwelling inwardly or outwardly, of coming and going freely, of casting away the grasping mind and the unobstructed penetration is basically no different from the Prajna Sutta. So we go through the commentary. Inside there is no body and mind. Outside there is no world. But this is not dull emptiness. It is not to say my body and mind does not exist. The world does not exist. And then to fall into vacuity. What is spoken of here is non-attachment. Non-attachment to the body and mind and the world. Then you may come and go freely. See? If you have right view, wisdom, if you don't cling, you can live life free of suffering. Yeah. That's why they say you can come and go freely. Coming here, going there, coming back to the body and mind, going out into the Dhammarayana, you are free. If you are unattached to the coming and the going. If you are attached, you are in bondage. So this part is very important. Eh? You have to understand that. The moment you cling, grasp, or attach, you are in bondage. You cannot liberate from the conditional. Unattached, you are free with respect to birth and death, or life and death. Then you can say, if I want to live, I live. If I want to die, I die. You ask, is this suicide? No. You need simply sit down, enter Dhyan Samadhi and go. You need not take poison to make sure that you will die. Isn't this freedom? If it were not freedom, you would not be able to go. How was the third patriarch? How to pronounce this one? Sen Shen. Able to reach up and grasp the limb of a tree. And while hanging there, die. Yeah, the third patriarch, yeah. Actually, he died. They thought he hanged himself. How could he enter Nirvana or realize Parinibbana in this way? He could do this because he was free to live or die, free to come or go. If you read through the patriarchship of the Zen tradition, after Bodhidharma came, actually the second patriarch, the third patriarch, and the fourth patriarch, they actually have to go into hiding during that time. Because at that time, when they arise, Bodhidharma was not famous yet because the emperor don't understand him. Then all those who actually received the patriarchship after him, second, third, and fourth, they had problem. They had to lie low. Then actually they go through a very tough life. You read the history, you know. But the fifth patriarch is different. The fifth patriarch, by then, people recognize already. Then civilization and society gain a lot of acceptance of the patriarchship's teaching. Then after that, Hui Ning made the teaching very famous. Very, very famous. Okay, we will continue. Unattached. Oh, this one we have finished, yeah? Okay, we turn to page 137, yeah. If you wish to live, then I may never die. Sorry, if I wish to live, then I may never die. If I wish to die, I die right now. This is what is meant by coming and going freely. If you are free to come and go, you can end your life even while in the midst of talking. Just like the great master how to pronounce this word? Tao Shen. Tao Shen. He was really a great spot. The first part of the Mahaparinibbana Sutta said that the Ichantikas, those of the little faith, do not possess the Buddha nature. But Tao Shen disagreed. I say that Ichantikas do have the Buddha nature. Everyone says he is crazy, he is mentally ill. He knows what the suttas say, yet he deliberately contradicted it. They scolded him, they shunned him. Get out of here, they said. Master Tao Shen then make a vow. He said, if my explanation of Dhamma is in agreement with the Buddha's sutta and the Buddha's mind, then in the future, I shall end my life while lecturing from the Dhammasit. But if I have spoken contrary to the Buddha's mind, this vow will not be fulfilled. He then went into the mountain and lectured on sutta to the rocks and ragged boulders. When the rock heard him, they nodded their head in acceptance of his principle. When Shen the Venerable spoke the Dhamma, even the rock bowed. He continued to lecture on sutta until once, when mysteriously and wonderfully, he paused while lecturing and died sitting on the Dhamma seat. The assembly looked up and cried, he has gone to rebirth. Wasn't he a good sport? This is what is meant by coming and going freely. You say, Dhamma Master, I quite agree with you. I don't want to be attached. In fact, I don't want to follow the rules. After all, the rules are just an attachment. Wrong. If you can cast away your grasping mind and be unattached, you should be unattached to what is wrong. But you should not be unattached to what is right. For example, if you follow the rules, you can become Buddhist. But if you think, I am not attached, I don't want to follow the rule, then you cannot become a Buddha. So this is a Shen Hua's way, commentary. Then he said, go down the right road, retreat from the wrong one. Do not become attached to principles which are in opposition to the way, but grasp and hold tightly to those principles which are in accord with it. Holding to and reciting may be an attachment, but holding to and reciting the Diamond Sutta is cultivation. So this one is based on understanding. When you understand, when you recite with understanding, then it's cultivation. But when you recite without understanding, then it's not cultivation at all. Do not say I'm attached. I have a small form, which I do not want to give up. What is more, I do not want anyone to know about it. That is to be even more attached. All right then, you say, I don't care if anyone knows about it. If people say I'm wrong, I will be unattached and pay no attention. That is deviant knowledge and deviant view. The more you cultivate that way, the further you drift from Buddha Dhamma. Once you have left attachment behind, you can penetrate and understand without obstruction and be without obstacle to your progress. The ability to cultivate this conduct is basically no different from the Prajna Sutta. If you cannot cultivate this conduct, you will be in opposition to the principle of the Diamond Sutta. But if you can cultivate, it is Prajna wisdom manifested. So cultivation needs understanding and wisdom. When you understand, the way will be there. When you don't understand, you will attach, you will cling. Then you will get yourself entangled. Okay, we finish this part also. So far, any question? If you don't have, then I will move on. Good knowing advisor. All suttas and writings of the great and small vehicle The 12 divisions of suttas have been devised because of people and established because of the nature of wisdom. If there were no people, the 10,000 dhammas would not exist. Therefore, you should know that all dhammas are originally postulated because of people, and all suttas are spoken for their sake. So it's mainly because of living beings. Then the commentary say, on the higher plane, a sutta tallies with the principles of all the Buddhas, and below it tallies with the opportunities for teaching living beings. For that reason, the word sutta took on the meaning to tally. The 12 divisions of the suttas are prose, verse, transmitting the prediction of predictions, interpolation, speaking of dhammas without its having been requested, discussion of cause and condition, analogies, events of past life of Buddhas, event of past life of Bodhisattvas and disciples, writing which explain principle in an especially expansive way. The dhamma which has never been spoken before, then commentaries. Sutra exists because people exist. If there were no people, the sutra would be useless. In the same way, trouble exists only because there are people to have them. The Dhamma teaches people how to end their troubles, to get rid of the 84,000 kinds of defilements and trouble. The Buddha teaches 84,000 Dhamma dhammas, but if there were no people, the trouble would never have arisen. These are the Mahayana way of breaking up the thing, so not important. Then there's a poem. The Buddha spoke all dhammas for the minds of human beings. If there were no minds, of what use would dhamma be? Again, it's the same. Okay, we go on to the next one. Some people are deluded and some are wise. The deluded are small people and the wise are great people. The deluded question the wise and the wise teach Dhamma to the deluded. When the deluded people suddenly awaken and understand, their mind opens to enlightenment and they are no longer different from the wise. Good knowing advisor. Unenlightened, the Buddha is a living being. At the time of a single enlightenment thought, the living being is the Buddha. So this one you can understand, huh? In fact, in the teaching, it was mentioned, the Buddha and living beings, they differ in only one thought. What is that one thought? The single thought of ignorant, yinian zhijian. The first thought of ignorance that started the living beings descend. That single thought. Therefore, you should know that the 10,000 Dhamma exists totally within your own mind. Why don't you, from within your own mind, suddenly see the true suchness of your original nature? So this one is very beautiful, isn't it? The 10,000 Dhamma exists totally within your own mind. That's why the Buddha said, your mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything comes to be. So the 10,000 Dhammas, they are all within. They exist totally within your own mind. So if that is the case, they ask you, why don't you from within your own mind suddenly see the true suchness of your original nature or your essential nature or true nature? The Bodhisattva Sila Sutta said, our fundamental self nature is clear and pure. If we realize our own mind and see the nature, we shall all perfect the Buddha way. The Vimalakiti Nidasha Sutta said, just then suddenly regain your original mind. That's why within the flip of a moment, you realize that true nature. Enlightenment can be so fast if you have that understanding. The moment the wisdom is there, it will just cease, and that nature will just manifest. Then after that, everything is understood. We go through the commentary. If in the very shortest space of time, the space of a thought, you suddenly understand, you wake up and become a Buddha. Confused, you are a living being. Enlightened, you are a Buddha. So very simple, huh? One confused thought, you become a living being. Thought after thought, confused thought after thought, a living being. One enlightened thought, you are a Buddha. Thought after thought, enlightened. Thought after thought, a Buddha. So very simple. Huh? What does it mean to be enlightened? Ask yourself. Ultimately, what advantage do emotion and desire have? Emotion and desire harm your body. That is a serious problem. They rob you of your life. They make you stupid. If in thought after thought you have desire, then thought after thought you are deluded. It is sad. Karma ended, emotion empty is the true Buddha. Karma heavy, emotion tepid is the living being. See, which one you choose? Huh? Very easy to choose. Huh? You better choose to end karma, then empty your emotion. Then you become beautiful Buddhas. Enlightenment is here. Put down defiled thoughts and pick up the pure thought. What are defiled thoughts? Thought of desire are defiled thought. I will make it even clearer. Thought of sexual desire are defiled thoughts. You should clearly recognize your thought of sexual desire. Should you give way to sexual desire with your body, then the action of your body karma is impure. If you talk about sex, the action of your mouth is impure. If you constantly think about sex, your mind karma is impure. However, if you are without offense in body, mouth, and mind, you are not far from Buddhahood. Most people turn their backs on enlightenment and unite themselves with the dust of external objects and states, falling into states of emotion and desire. They become defiled. Leaving emotion and desire behind and turning their back on the dust, you are united with enlightenment. You are clear and pure, and you can realize Buddhahood. However, as long as you have the slightest trace of defilement, you cannot realize Buddhahood. You remain a living being. One confused thought makes you a living being for the space of that thought. If every thought is confused, you are continuously a living being. One enlightened thought makes you a Buddha for the space of that thought. If every thought is enlightened, you are always a Buddha. Do you see? It is very simple. Still, you need the help of a good knowing advisor who will teach you that in order to be clear and pure. It is of utmost importance to be unselfish, not working for your own benefit, and being without greed, hatred, and delusion. And the view of a self, you may attain purity, that is enlightenment. Some people hear one enlightened thought, you are a Buddha, and they say everyone is a Buddha, right? All living beings are Buddha, but they must first wake up to it. To say everyone is Buddha, is a Buddha, when you are not enlightened, is to be like the common people mentioning earlier on in the sutta, who called himself the king, the real king, would throw that man in prison. Heaven cannot have two sons, hold two sons. The citizen cannot serve two kings. Why don't you cultivate your own mind, get rid of the defilement, and then you can see your own true nature as it truly is. See it right there or right now. Do not say, wait a minute. See it immediately. If you see your nature, you realize Buddhahood. If I see my nature, I realize Buddhahood. If someone else see their nature, he realizes Buddhahood. There is no inequality here. This principle is completely democratic. Whoever sees his nature realizes Buddhahood. You need not wait. See right through it, and suddenly, you don't know how you are enlightened, strange and unspeakably wonderful. You return to yourself and regain your original mind. So this one always points towards the essential nature. That's why Hui Neng's teaching is to realize your true mind. And that one is very direct. If you can develop that type of understanding, you progress very fast. You don't have to like the traditional way. The traditional way, you know what they do or not? They use thought-based meditation to train themselves, to develop the meditation, to cultivate. But thought-based can never realize the state of mind that is beyond thought. That's why no amount of meditation, if you are using thought-based, can give rise to awakening. That's why Hui Neng realized this. He pointed direct to the true mind, the essence of the true essential nature. That's why you need to silence everything and from there develop mindfulness, awareness. That's why the whole teaching is about mindfulness, silent mind, the essential nature, the true mind. Without that, you cannot cultivate. Without that, you cannot awaken. So do not be deluded. Just like method, technique, you need to train, then you use it. But if your spiritual faculties are there, the hindrance no more, then they are spiritual faculty that can allow you to understand spiritual teaching. Then technically, you don't need method, objects, or meditation. All the technique and all those things, they are not necessary. But living beings, they come from different background. That's why they receive the teaching differently. But if there is nobody to explain all this, people can be stuck for eternity doing thought-based meditation. Understand, huh? So do not be caught in thought-based meditation. You must learn to silence your mind. You must tell yourself, it is not through the thought that I can realize the enlightenment state which is beyond thought. There is no way. As I knowledge by, knowledge never free. But wisdom liberate. Wisdom is not knowledge. Wisdom is an understanding. It's an awakening. Without thought, the silent mind awakens to it. Then it realizes it. Then when it realizes it's not rigid, it applies to every situation, every circumstances. That's why it's very different. Okay? Then the other thing that Xuanhua didn't explain deeper is he talked about default thought, wrong thought. We prefer the word wrong thought, default thought. He only talked about sexual thought, understand? Mean lustful thought. But wrong thought or default thought is more, much more than that. Of course, that one is one of the very strong defiling thought. When you have lust, when you have sexual craving and all those things. But wrong thought, they actually are very powerful. And you have to understand what are wrong thought so that when they arise, you recognize them. so that you can deal with them. Because the Buddha taught the Noble Eightfold Path. You must have right view leading to right thought. But the text never explain what is wrong thought and never really go deep into what is right thought. That's why the teaching is not so potent as it is when during the Buddha's time. That's why it's no longer so penetrative. The original true teaching has been lost. Then the Buddha under Noble Eightfold Path also taught you the four right efforts to abandon the wrong thought that has arisen, the wrong speech that has arisen, or the wrong action that has arisen. But how do you recognize what is wrong thought, wrong speech, and wrong action? And that one, the text has forgotten. They never teach this. That's why you find it so difficult to cultivate. They only tell you four right effort. Okay, right effort to abandon wrong thought, finish. They don't explain anymore. So what is important is you must understand what constitutes wrong thought. It's just like avoid all evil, do good, purify the mind. How to avoid all evil when you don't even know what constitutes evil? The three evil roots are the root of all evil. That's why you have to go deep into it. Greed, hatred, and delusion. Penetrate them. Then you will understand what constitutes evil. So likewise, wrong thought is the same. What constitutes wrong thought? In the Sabba Asavak Sutta, the Buddha also taught the same. Things that you are not supposed to pay attention to, you don't pay attention to. Because when you pay attention to things that are unfit for attention, the anusaya or the asava that is not there will arise. Then the asava that is there will become more. That's how you fall. So all these are in the teaching. You have to pay attention to the thing that are fit for attention. And what are the things that are fit for attention? They are all the wholesome thing, the virtuous thing, especially the one that leads to wisdom, the Four Noble Truths. And within the Four Noble Truths, there is a Noble Eightfold Path. That's why you have to pay attention to the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths. Then you have to pay attention to what constitutes right view, leading to right thought, right speech, right action. So all this, you have to pay attention. Then to understand right, you must understand wrong. That's how you cultivate. So what constitutes wrong thought? I have already explained many times. Now you listen one more time. Whatever thought that conditions your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sadness, your emotional negativity, your fear, your insecurity, your selfishness, your emotional negativity and delusion, they are all wrong thought. So every time, whenever you are not peaceful, not happy, the evil roots are there, the wrong thoughts are there. So it's very easy. That's why people who has depression, who has a lot of suffering, misery, they have been holding on to all the wrong thought. That's why they become more and more depressed. They suffer more and more. And because of that, they cannot come out of that depression, that emotional negativity, that sadness. All this arises because of self-delusion, attachment, clinging, grasping. When they encounter the First Noble Truth realities, they don't have the wisdom to cope with what happened. They cannot develop the understanding to liberate their mind, to free themselves. That's why they are caught in the cocoon of wrong thought. So wrong thought is the source of suffering. The more you think, the more miserable you become. because they are the thought that condition your suffering, your misery, your fear, your worry, your lamentation, your sorrow. So like just now what we went through Krishnamurti code, if you like to store, accumulate all your phobia, all of your what they call experiences in life, whatever people do to you, your hurts, your scars of memories, if you store them, memory is the source of arising of thought. That's why Krishnamurti used this word. He said, because of memory, accumulation, thought is respond to memory. Because this memory create condition for you to recall. That's why when you continuously storing all these accumulated experiences of life, whether it's your phobia, good or bad, your insecurity, your whatever fear, worry, anxiety, or insecurity, or unhappiness, and certain secret that you don't like people to know, you store them all up. But they are the source of memory that will haunt you. Because whenever there is condition, you will recall. That's why in Mahayana, the second noble truth, cause of suffering, they call accumulation. Kuji, accumulation, which is also correct. When you accumulate all this suffering, all this negativity, this phobia, your fear, your insecurity, your scars of memory, this is the one that actually cause suffering, trigger off, respond to memory, the thought come out. That's how wrong thought condition you into negativity and you will have all this suffering. So when you understand what is wrong thought, the moment you see yourself in this condition, you have to immediately arise the right effort to abandon them. Forget about it. Why do you want to think? It's only a thought. How can it have such power to make you so miserable and unhappy? True or not? It's only a thought, come and go. Who gave it such power? Through your delusion, you attach, you cling, you hold, you give power to the thought. That's why it makes you miserable. It projects into the future that trigger of intense fear. Then you worry about it. Because of your attachment, your clinging, your grasping. If it's only a thought, how come it has such power to make you so miserable? It's because you are deluded. You don't have right view. You don't have right understanding. So thought is not the problem. Thought is like money, neither good or evil. It's the use of thought. When you are not enlightened, you will use thought wrongly. That's why living beings suffer. They always use thought wrongly. They arise the wrong thought. They have a lot of wrong view, deviant view. So now you understand. If you develop your understanding and straighten your view, then you will have less and less wrong thought. Then you will think less. Avijja paccaya sankhara weaken. That's how you straighten your view and become beautiful. Then you will constantly cultivate right thought. What are right thought? This is even more important. What are right thought? All of your virtue, your goodness, your kindness, your sincerity, your contentment, your generosity, they are all right thought. Thought that doesn't have the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Especially your wholesomeness of mind, your virtue, your goodness, your kindness, your gentleness, your pleasantness, all these are right thought. Thought that bring about love, compassion, understanding, thought that can make people feel safe, feel protected, feel love and peace, thought that can bring about understanding, leading to harmony, leading to more and more contentment, humility, respect, goodness, gentleness, kindness, all these are right thoughts. Then whatever speech that can bring about such things are also right speech. That's why kind, gentle, and pleasant speeches, sincere speech, without the four types of wrong speech. The four types of wrong speech, you know, harsh speech, backbiting, saying bad things about people behind their back, frivolous speech, then lying. All these are wrong speech. Whereas right speech are very different, they are the opposite. That's why you have to develop the ability to speak gently, pleasantly, kindly, with sincerity and understanding. That brings about harmony, that brings about love, that brings about blessing to the world, that make people feel at home, feel like safe with you. Then whatever action you do is the same. If your action are free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then they are all right action. Like generosity, helping people, develop compassion to relieve suffering beings. They act with love and compassion, act with sincerity, kindness, goodness. Then treat people properly, without selfishness, without delusion, without jealousy and envy and all these things. All these evil root them out. So when you understand what constitutes wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, then Noble Eightfold Path can be cultivated. Then you can reverse the whole understanding and it can bring about beautiful progress along the path of Dhamma. Okay, we end here. Eh? Then you can have your meditation. Eh? those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have not, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Yeah. Okay. So now is the Q&A session. Yeah. You can report your meditation. Then after that, you can ask any question regarding the meditation or the teaching. Yeah. Also, how to apply what you have learned here. Yeah. To help you understand life and overcome whatever problems you have in life, yeah, which is the application of the Dhamma. Mm. Okay, now we open up. Yeah. Anybody wants to report meditation and ask any question, you can. Nobody again. Oh, yeah. Make full use of the session. You can just report your meditation.
Brother,
yeah.
How to convince people not to see internet?
Why do you want to convince people? What is the reason you wanted that? Is it in the office or what?
In the house.
Oh, in the house. Who are they? They are your family members or what? Oh, your mother. Why you object
brother,
her?
My brother.
Oh, your brother. Why you don't allow him to see internet?
Because after playing games at the internet, I felt that he very emotional, and also emotional ups and down, and then sometimes will quarrel with us, and then.
How old is he? 25. He's working or he's still studying?
Yes, he's working.
Oh.
Because my parents not used to teach him in the proper way my parents is also not always cultivate. So he doesn't matter even though my brother is playing games and searching internet.
Mm.
And then even is during weekend, especially Saturday, come back at around 3-4 o'clock, also won't mind. So I just want to my brother to how to convince and lead him to cultivate. Of course, cultivate this Buddhist teaching is very difficult.
Yeah, you have to understand life is not what you want. What you want is your own views and opinion and ideal. What is important is you understand yourself. Then when you yourself have the understanding, you will know what to do. You see, your brother is your brother. He has his life, understand? He has his karma, just like your parents. They have theirs. But as an individual, when we arise in this existential world, or what we call samsara, we have this form and mind, yeah, which is what you are now, the human being. This is karmically conditioned out for you to use to come to this world, to live life, to experience life, to develop the cultivation, and sometimes for deluded people to pay back your karma, to experience all the karmic effect, the karmic debt, or the karmic friction of what you have to go through. So when you understand that, then as per the Buddha's advice, when you have right view with regards to this nature's law that governs life and existence, especially the law of karma, then you understand each and every one of us, like the Buddha said, we are born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of our karma. So if karma plays such a great role in our life, what must we do? We must take care of our karma. That's why you have a duty, you have a responsibility towards this world. You have to take care of karma. Then karma take care of your life. Then your life become beautiful. So you do your part. That's why we cultivate the Buddha Dharma. We develop the understanding so that we will have the good life. We avoid evil, do good, purify the mind. This is following the advice of the Buddha based on the understanding of this law of karma. Because this law of karma is so vital. If we want to avoid the negativity of karma, we must avoid evil. If we want to develop wholesomeness, blessings, merits, we must cultivate all the virtue, all the kindness, the goodness. Means whatever wholesomeness you can do, got condition to do, you must do. So this is the understanding. Then even with your good karma, you may not have the perfect life. You can have much better life where you have merits, you have blessings. But when you confront the reality of birth and death, means the reality of life and existence, you will have to confront many other things, like the body, physical body, going through old age, sickness and death. You can have relationship problem like what you go through now, your brother and you. Then you can also have separation problem later on. All this can lead to suffering. So the Buddha said, if you want to complete your life understanding, you must complement it with meditation. That is to purify your mind, to develop the wisdom so that you can confront all this without suffering. Karma alone can give you better life, but it doesn't give you the wisdom to liberate your mind, to free from all the realities of life and existence. So understanding this is very vital. So after you understand this, you can take care of yourself. Then your brother, let it be. It doesn't mean that he is your brother, you must help. It doesn't work that way. This will develop craving in you, cause you more suffering like what you have gone through on asana. Because you perceive him with negativity. You perceive him as very disobedient. But before I move on, who pay for the internet?
Himself.
Then what can you do? He pay for the internet. You cannot stop him from using the internet. Understand? So his line, let him live. But when he get into trouble, then when you see condition, then when there is an opportunity to help him, then you can slowly talk to him. Then you can ask him, what happened? Why are you so moody, so unhappy? You don't look peaceful. Why are you this way? Do you want to share with me? I'm your sister. He's your only brother or what? And you are the only sister. Oh, very good. Not that easy. Like what I told my son and my daughter, when they are young, they used to have this, you know, argument, fighting. and my boy is younger. He is the one that always want things his way. Then the sister being elder also don't like to give way. So what happened was they tend to have this argument, or what I call quarrel. And one day when I came back, my mother told me. Then I saw what they did, because they in front of me they did not. Then I saw my daughter actually beat the younger brother. Then I asked my daughter, why you do that? He said he very naughty. He want to take my thing. And a lot of all those things. Then I asked the boy, why you want to take JJ's thing? He said, well, I also want. So they find. Then I said, okay, come, sit down. I said, let me share with you some very important understanding. I said, do you know, I said, in this world, I said, after your daddy, mommy pass away, the only one that you have, who is related to you closely, is your sister, your cheche. And likewise, I told her that my daughter, the closest one that you have is your brother. You cannot deny this fact. The two of you have to learn how to live, to be at peace with each other, and to develop the love and the affection so that this family unit can be beautiful. We cannot be selfish. So I said, why not we do it like that? I set a rule. I said, Cheche, elder, whatever happened, you cannot beat the young one. You cannot hit him. You cannot do whatever to him. But you can report to me. And then I will take action against a small fellow. Then she said, okay, like that, can, no problem. Then my boy, of course, he already knew this is not going to be easy. So later on, this thing worked out. And they developed the understanding to try to understand each other and become like good friend, at peace. Then whatever, I say, you have to learn to take care of each other, because when we are not around, the two of you, you are the only loved one that have to take care of each other. Then I told my daughter, I said, you are elder, you should learn to take care of the younger one. Even when my younger boy was born, the first day, my daughter don't understand, how come suddenly one baby come home? Then she used to sleep with my mother one. My wife, sorry. Then suddenly this young fellow take over. Then she was like put on the other side. You know what happened? Middle of the night, he crawled in between and pushed the small fellow away. My wife got a shock when she woke up. No, how come the daughter is next to her and the small fellow is being pushed aside? Then after that, only I have to talk to her. No? I said, do you know who he is or not? He is your younger brother. I said, you are the cheche, you must learn how to care for him and love him. And then only she start to understand. Then I had to explain to my daughter, I said, you know who is Papa or not? Papa is daddy's mommy. Her mommy, she know. So I said, Papa is your daddy's mommy. So it's just like Papa give birth to me. Then your little brother is just like mommy's son. So you are the cheche, you must take care. You have a duty. But then only, from that day onward, she become very different. She starts to like take care of her. Then look at her without negativity already. No more jealousy. Well, these are instincts that they cannot understand. They used to be love, but suddenly that love is no more. So you have to explain to them. Then when my son one day went to school, got problem, because a very close classmate passed away. I think he was in standard 4. He cannot accept that reality. Then I saw him very moody. And then I called him. I said, what happened to you in school today? At first he didn't want to talk. I said, you don't look happy. You are very sad. you are at the verge of crying, tears. I say, whatever it is, you just let me know and I can advise you. Yeah, I'm your dad. Then he starts to talk to me, you know. He starts to cry. Then he said he got this classmate. Also, both of them are top in the class. He's very good friend. But the rest of the classmate, he couldn't really interact because the understanding gap is big. So he said he cannot accept the reality that this classmate of him just passed away. Well, for 3 days, it didn't turn out. Then he asked the teacher, what happened to my friend? Then the teacher thought he may not understand. He said, your classmate will not come to school anymore. Then he insists, why? Because he just passed away a few days ago. Wow, he cannot take it. Then after that, I talked to him. I said, okay, fair enough. I said, this is very normal. I said, everybody who go through life, they have to confront this reality. Separation from good friend or loved one, it will happen. I said. But you have to understand, life continue. If you attach, you cling, you become afflicted, miserable, unhappy, like what you are going through now, is it worth it? Is that life? Then furthermore, I told him, I said, that time he was very young, no? I said, if you want to develop better understanding, I can explain to you. I said, later on you will come to understand it's only a thought. It's the thought telling you, because you attach to him, you need him. You say he is your best friend. He's top in the class, like you, can talk to you, same wavelength. You feel very good when you are with him. But the reality is, he is already no more. He died. If you go against this reality, you will become miserable, like what you've gone through. Then I say, it's only a thought. How come he has such power to make you so miserable? Then he kept quiet. Then he went on his own. I think he went into deep state of thinking. Then next morning when he woke up, I was very surprised. He came to me, cheerful, laughing. He said, Daddy, you are right. It's only a thought. From that moment, he got no more problem. See? People who have the past, they can understand very fast. So for your case, it's the same. He lived his life because you have to respect him for what he is. He has his own karmic condition. He has his own duty. If he don't take care, he will suffer. He will meet up with situation. When there is condition to explain, then only you explain. Then when you have the free time to chat with him, you can also talk to him in a very different way. He said, you can just let him know, like what I let my two children know. You say, this family, the two of us, we are very important. We are the pillar of the family. We have to actually stand together, united, to build up this family. And then only he can understand. Because it might be something that is beneficial to him. Otherwise, he don't want to do. So you put it in such a way, you rope him in. Then as your sister, I owe a duty to take care of you. So I hope you understand my point of view. When I try to advise you, you use the word advise you, not to spend too much time on the internet, is because I find that your character becomes funny when you are on the internet for too long. Then you tend to have this type of negativity or those things. You say, I just want to understand. Is it affecting you so badly? If that is the case, can you check on yourself as which aspect of the internet that is suitable and conducive for your, what they call, emotion and your development of your career, and then go for it. Otherwise, you can, like what I have learned from my understanding of the Buddhist teaching, we hold the key to our own life destiny. To be happy or to be unhappy is entirely our choice. So if you have the wisdom like me now, I choose to be happy. So I choose to avoid all those things that can bring about downfall, suffering to me. And I will do things that will bring about goodness, wholesomeness to me and my family, so that I can be a blessing to you, to our parents, and to all that have relationship with us. So slowly, slowly, you use your own understanding, the Buddhist understanding, to explain things to him. Then up to him, where his life, let him live. You cannot force him. Just like if he turn around and force you to do things that you don't like, you will also be very unhappy. Understand? So we have to respect them for what they are. We do our duty, that's it. Then leadership by example. If you have kindness, goodness, gentleness, he can feel you. When you care for him, he can feel you. When he's sick, help him, look after him. When he's in trouble, talk to him nicely and let him understand. Okay? That is how you can help. But when you want things your way, you will not get it, because you are trying to force him to do things that he don't like to do. Nobody will like it that way. Okay? Okay. Any more questions? Anybody else? Anybody wants to report your meditation or anything? I still haven't fully recovered, so I cannot sit too long on this. Luckily, just now I have 45 minutes of good meditation at the back there. No question, nothing. Oh, then we stop early. Like in BC, 5:30 we stop. Yeah, so that you also can have more time. Okay, then we will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits. Okay. Just now I thought I saw Joyce. Where is she? Huh? Oh, went off. Oh, he came here for what? Oh, okay, okay. Oh, no wonder. Okay, sharing our merits with the devas. Akasata cha pumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakan tu lokasasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sapa sampati siddhya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer of merits to departed one. Idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Let these merits accrue to our departed relatives, and may they all to be well and happy always. Okay, we will develop the blessing for the nation. Devo vasatu kalena sasa sampati hito cha vito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers, be righteous. Then you make your aspiration. Imina punyang kamina mami bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu Yava Nivana Patiya. By the grace of these merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Queen Bodhisattva, and the Holy Ones.
Let's express our heartfelt thanks to Brother Teo for the profound shedding of the Dharma with three mindful bow to the Buddha. Shall we say three times sadhu to Bratio, although it's not feeling well, it still takes so compassionate to come and share the Dharma with us. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Another announcement, I think next week, Sunday, we can't have class because Elsie's house dana. And please pay attention to his address. And you can communicate together attends the house dana. Okay.